This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Okay, I guess we're starting off with DMX. Very interesting young college Tom turned real world Tom.
I know you're a fan.
I am a big DMX fan. Welcome in, everybody. It's Mego and Shime. No Shime today. He's on vacation, so we're joined by John Lyons. Hoping you're having a wonderful Saturday as you're coming off a 10th walk-off win for your Red Sox, the 10th of the season. John Lyons, how are we feeling on this perfect sunny summer Saturday?
Well, Mego, I am also a DMX fan, and I'm feeling really good on this Saturday after the Red Sox, again, as you said, get their 10th walk-off win of the year. And one of those wins against a team in the Marlins that if you're going to be a playoff team in the Red Sox, you need to win these types of games, those close games against teams that you are better than, and we saw the Red Sox do it last night.
Yeah, so much talk about magic. We're going to get to Lucas Giolito and the wonderful night that he had last night and the pitching that has really been the catalyst, I believe, for a lot of the success that you've had since June in this season. This show, though, I got to say, we're going to do our Red Sox here because they earned it last night and we have high expectations for them through the rest of this regular season and hopefully what's going to be a very deep postseason run. But we also got to get to our football because we have the 1 p.m. kickoff of the second preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings. Been tons of reports from the two joint practices out of Minnesota. First one, pretty good. Second one, a little bit different. So we're going to hit on that, and we're going to get into a ton of Drake May, everything about the week that Steph Diggs has had. But here, starting with the Red Sox, John Lyons, they're now 67-56. Incredibly important stat here, which is that they've won five straight in the Green City Connect uniforms. And, of course, this stat from our very own Rob Bradford, that they are 23-5 at home since June 10th. Tom, can we hear Lucas Giolito on the way that it's been feeling at Fenway Park when you're 23-5 at Fenway Park since that June 10th date? Here he is last night.
You kind of would expect that the offense would be better at Fenway, right, than on the road. The pitching staff has also put up better numbers at Fenway than on the road. What's that attributable to?
I think, it's just the energy and the feeling we have here. Obviously, Fenway is the most historic ballpark, and it feels very magical here. That's how I would describe it, putting on the Red Sox uniform and playing here. So I think it's just this energy that we feed off of as pitchers, having the home crowd standing up and behind us every single pitch. I think that's probably why we're doing well here.
All right, John. So what do you make of, I guess, the Red Sox getting through the gauntlet that they have, the last couple series, not exactly what you're looking for, but then getting back on track last night? Only got three hits against the Marlins, who obviously aren't a great baseball club. And there's been these up and down questions about your offense throughout this season. Where do you feel like the Red Sox are at right now, looking at the postseason coming up?
I think they're in a really good place, Mego, because when you look at their schedule coming up, they do have four games against the Yankees next week, but other than that, their August consists of the Marlins, the Orioles, and the Pirates. I mean, they have 15 games left in August. I don't think it's a stretch to say they should go 10-5.
Woo!
And if you go 10-5 on top of what you did last night and where you're at in the standings right now, firmly in wild card position, you'll enter September in a great spot. And I know they didn't buy enough at the deadline. They got Mats, they got May, but you know, that wasn't enough for me. It wasn't enough for a lot of people. But it's nice to see them not fade after the deadline, because that's, you look at the last couple of years, they faded after the deadline both years, and also really the last 3 years, they've struggled immensely at home. This is a team that had a losing record at Fenway Park the last couple of years, and now they're dominant at home. So they're playing better at home. It feels like they have more mental toughness. They're not fading after an underwhelming trade deadline. And also, just to state the obvious, they're better than they were last couple of years talent-wise. So that's been a huge part of this as well. So again, I feel really good about them overall. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to win the World Series and they're better than the Dodgers, Padres, Mets, and Phillies, but I do feel really good about them, especially in the American League.
Yeah, I don't want to be overreactive to one win, because they did drop those series against the Astros and against the Padres, and those are really the top of the MLB-level teams. And so you would want them to at least split that road trip. And the road trip, like, there's so many good vibes around Fenway. That's fun for fans, and that's a good thing. And when you're playing the dumb Sweet Caroline, sorry, but it is dumb.
I hate that song so much.
The dumb Sweet Caroline, like, you want the Red Sox to be up. Yeah, I get that. That's a good vibe to have. And I don't know if you saw Chris Smith from Mass Live had a tweet about, This is the kind of stuff that I know people love, but, you know, you can read into it what you want, that the guys are hanging out for like 30 to 40 minutes in the clubhouse after the ninth inning while other people are doing media, like, just in their full uniforms, just because they enjoy spending time with each other and they're happy together. You know, that there is this real, I don't know, likability of the team and likability among them. But I really think it comes down to the mental discipline and the messaging from Alex Cora now, because you got the rest of the series with the Marlins at home, and then you get the Orioles. The Yankees have been in a bit of a tailspin, as much as they started the season so strong. And again, you get the Orioles and the Pirates. Like, the remainder of your regular season, I think you only see a third of your games are against teams that are currently in postseason position. So there's no reason for you to have any kind of slide, unless it's the old adage of you beating yourselves or playing down to your competition. And I don't know, John, if you would put that responsibility more on the leaders of the team. I think it comes down to Alex Cora having the right discipline with this team, the right messaging, making sure we don't get those silly mistakes like base running errors or stupid errors, you know, defensively, especially in the outfield, like we've seen in the past, poor decision-making. I think it comes down to him, and then having his kind of, you know, foot soldiers in the clubhouse, making sure that message gets down to the much younger guys like Roman Anthony, who you're depending on.
It's a great point, Mego, and I think when you look at how they've constructed this team, Alex Bregman is a guy in their lineup that's won multiple World Series, knows what it takes to make the playoffs and go deep in the playoffs. Walker Buehler, guy in their rotation. Now, I know he hasn't pitched that well this year overall. He's been better the last 4 or 5 weeks, but overall hasn't pitched well. But it's a guy that he's won multiple World Series, knows what it takes to make the playoffs, go deep in the playoffs. And then in your bullpen, you have Chapman, a World Series champion. And I think that stuff, especially for a young team, matters a lot. And you mentioned Roman Anthony. It wasn't a surprise to me that Roman Anthony scored both of their runs last night after drawing walks in both of those at-bats prior. I mean, this is a guy, you go back, you mentioned all their walk-offs with the City Connect uniforms. We all remember the set on Rafaela Homer against Tampa before the All-Star break to walk it off. Roman Anthony drew a walk right before that. His plate discipline has been phenomenal. And part of that, and I think a large part of it, is just him and what he brings to the table talent-wise and the work he's put in. But some of that, I think, is also Alex Bregman, a veteran there who preaches patience in those key moments, stays calm. We saw Bregman have an RBI last night to tie the game. So I think it's been a really big piece of this is the guys they've brought in that have championship experience. Because you're right, there's a lot of young players and pieces on this team. Even a guy like Jarren Duran, who we look at as a veteran, he hasn't been in the playoffs, right? He hasn't been to a World Series. Abreu, Rafaela, these guys have been here a couple of years. They're still young players. So having guys like Bregman, like Chapman, like Buehler, I think at this time of year, especially, again, after an underwhelming trade deadline, I think we're seeing that pay off now and make a big difference.
617-779-7937 is the number if you want to join the show, either by calling in, give your thoughts on the Red Sox, another walk-off win last night, what the rest of the regular season holds for them, your expectations for the postseason, or if you just want to text in with your thoughts. But, John, you bring up what they did, what they added in the offseason. And I was listening to Ken and Curtis before us, and I thought that they had this very quick debate, which could have been fleshed out a little bit more, which is the two big pieces that you add in the offseason, Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman. They both look like tremendous success stories for the front office. And of course, you can attribute that to those guys themselves and the coaching staff. But out of all the wins, if you want to look at this era of the front office and say, where have they really buttered their bread? You know, it's with those two guys. And so I wonder, because I heard a very quick debate, who's the bigger catalyst for the success so far this season? Is it Alex Bregman, who of course missed several weeks of play with an injury, but has his highest OPS since 2019 when he was with the Houston Astros, and that was the World Series championship team, asterisks with the whole trash can controversy and everything over there. But Alex Bregman, also his influence on the clubhouse and the young guys, and being somebody who sets the culture, especially with the departure of Rafael Devers midway through the season? Or do you think it's Garrett Crochet and turning into almost immediately the ace that you've been looking for since you extended Chris Sale and he got injured every season? And I think really raising the standard of not just the rotation, but pitching across the board for the Red Sox, because when you have a guy who's so consistently great like Garrett Crochet is going day in and day out, somebody like Lucas Giolito, somebody like Walker Buehler, who's had his own struggles but also has had stretches where he's been very serviceable, you look at it and you go, we can't just let that guy carry the burden for everybody and have Bayo contribute. You know, we got to raise our standard as well.
I think it's Crochet, Mego, because they've been, as you said, starving for an ace really since they signed Chris Sale. I know Eovaldi had some good years here. We wish he was still here. But what Crochet has done, I mean, we're talking about a guy that's seventh in ERA, second in strikeouts. He's already surpassed an innings high for his career this year. I think it's going to be him. I mean, having an ace on your staff makes such a huge difference in not just baseball in general, but I feel like especially in today's MLB where pitchers have the upper hand and have had the upper hand for the last several years. He sets the tone for everyone. He's made things better on the bullpen. He's made things better on the rest of the rotation. And it feels like every single time he goes out there, and I know his last outing he wasn't great, but it feels like every single time he goes out there, the Red Sox have the advantage. They have the best chance to win. And it's been a long time since you've been able to say that. And I don't think it's a surprise to me that all their pitching numbers are better when they've brought since they've brought in Crochet. And I know a big part of that is the bullpen has been great. But I think him being at the top of that rotation has changed things for everyone else.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. I'm going to be like a little sleazy, a little weaselly with my reasoning of why I'm going with Alex Bregman, because there's the baseball side of it, but I also think Bregman forced your hand on the Devers issue. And I really don't like the way that, especially in terms of communication behind the scenes and then communication to the media and fans, the way that the Red Sox handled Devers. So I'm not going to totally flip-flop and say this was the right thing all along. But bringing in Alex Bregman really forced you to make a decision about Devers. And as the weeks go on, we'll see what the reinvestment ultimately is with the Devers money that you gave over to San Francisco and said, this is your problem now. They need to reinvest better than the immediate return that they got in the trade in terms of the money that they saved themselves. But when you brought in Alex Bregman, because you handled Devers so poorly, you forced yourself to pick a side. Like, are we going to be with Bregman, who is Cora's guy from Houston, or are we going to stick with Devers, the guy who you signed after Mookie and Xander both, you traded one and you let the other one walk?
You almost guilted into signing Devers.
Exactly. It almost felt like a PR signing.
Yeah, John Henry gets booed at the Winter Classic,
exactly.
And next thing you know, they signed Devers, right?
And so I think because of Alex Bregman, he almost like changed the entire – look of the team with the addition by subtraction of Devers, because his addition forced them to be in this position where they say, we got to choose one or the other. It's too awkward here. And Devers' contract looks like it's going to become this albatross very quickly. And so people talk about, like, oh, did that change the vibe of the clubhouse? And now everybody, it's less tight in there when the media's in there. Everybody can relax a little bit. Everybody can focus on the game instead of what they're going to say about Devers or what he's going to say next. I think that we blow a little bit of that out of proportion. I think it just provided a ton of clarity about, one, who's the actual leader of the team and closer to the face of the franchise, and two, you had to ultimately choose Bregman, and so then you move on from Devers, and since then, it hasn't been perfect. You've had some very rough stretches, but it's been better than it's been in previous seasons when Devers was closer to the guy.
Yeah, and I think it's a good point there, Mega, and I would also say that having Bregman over Devers has done a lot for these young players. Like I mentioned Anthony earlier and Marcelo Meyer when he was here, but even you look at Narvaez, Rafaela, it feels like those guys have gotten so much more comfortable. And credit to Craig Breslow. A lot of us laughed at him when he said that they might be better without Devers than with him. We're going on 2 months now, Meg. I think it was 2 months ago today, or just about 2 months ago today, that Devers was traded. And they've been better without him. And by the way, the Giants have been a little worse with him. So, and I'm not saying it's all him, but they have been better since they made this trade. And I think the clarity of roles is a great point, like I said, because now you're not worried, hey, is Rafi going to play first? Is he going to play third? Is he going to DH? Is he going to pout? Now it's, hey, Bregman's playing third. We don't love our answer at first base, but we got to figure that out. We know our outfield is solid. We know we can move Rafael around if we need to second base. So you have that extra bit of clarity, which I do think, especially for a lot of these young players, it does seem to have helped.
Yeah, and to me, I guess what I'm saying most clearly, if I can say it, is that you forced yourself into an ultimatum because you handled Devers so poorly and you kind of lied to him according to reports behind the scenes in the offseason. And you said, don't worry about Alex Bregman. That's just media smoke. Everybody's just trying to guess who we're going to go for. Don't worry about it, Devers. You're our guy. Remember, Chaim Bloom told you, you're our third baseman. Like, you're the face of the franchise. And then you DH him and then you try to move him around a couple times and he really doesn't like that and he really acts like a brat publicly and the whole thing falls apart. But because it got to a point where you were forced into an ultimatum, it's this or that, and you chose this and you let that go to San Francisco. Now, I don't know how differently you'd feel, John, if he was out there and he was absolutely just slugging.
I'd probably be pretty upset on this Saturday morning about it.
Because we'd sit here and we'd go, okay, maybe the conversation, you know, in this very sports radio, sports talk radio hypothetical would be, they won last night, but they played the Marlins and they only had 3 hits. You know, we talk about run differential whenever they have these games where they score 14 and then the 2 nights later or whatever, and the next night they score, two and they have 3 hits. We can't depend on this offense. They still don't have the lineup completely together, and it just feels like you don't have your offensive identity. But since Rafi kind of sucks out west, it's fine. We don't have
to. Yeah, it's not like you're watching Mookie Betts win World Series with the Dodgers or Bogarts play well for the Padres. Sorry to bring up bad memories. But again, they've been better without him. And I think having Bregman to slot in at that third base position where you're used to Devers, not only has he been really good at the plate, but he's been really good in the field. I mean, Devers was a guy that was the worst third baseman in the league for 7 consecutive years. And now you have a guy at third base who pretty good, right? And that in itself, again, your defense still has a ways to go in the infield, but that in itself, I think, has been a huge upgrade. And you look at a game like last night, 2-1 game, you said it, Mega, only 3 hits for the Red Sox. Maybe with someone who's not as good at third base, maybe there's a different play here or there, and there's an error or a throw that's a little bit, who knows, and maybe you don't win that game. So I think that's one of those kind of subtle, underhanded things that we haven't thought as much about because it's been so much about Devers' offense and Bregman's offense and the Red Sox pitching. They have upgraded defensively quite a bit at third base.
Let's grab a call here before we switch gears and go to football. David in the car wants to talk about Devers. What's going on, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. So, I said it then, and I'll still stick to it. I think moving from Devers was the right move to do at the right time. I believe that they were trying to get Devers to be the face of the franchise, which I never felt was the right thing to do. I never felt they wanted so badly to replace a Big Poppy, which you can't. And it's going to take years before you can ever get anybody else like that in a team. And the other thing is the money. You got to look at the money from a business point. You have so much money invested in this guy that if you have an opportunity to move, you have to move. And this is why I like what they did with Anthony, with Anthony there, where you stay around 5 years, a couple of years over is okay. Do not sign guys to 10-year deals. That is a room for disaster. That's just a recipe for disaster, and you've got to stay away from that. 5-7 years is good. You know, you get the best out of them, see how they're performing, and then if you feel that they're still real good, maybe you sign up you extend their contract a little bit more.
Okay, thank you, David. Great call. So, yeah, the obvious place where a lot of fans go is when he's healthy. Bregman has been a nearly perfect fit for the Red Sox where they are right now. So now, being a Boris client, he's going to go into the offseason and try to renegotiate or be a free agent because he has those outs in his contract. I asked much earlier in this season, like begging, please, Red Sox, don't let this get to after the postseason that I thought that they were going to be in. Just like, please do this now. I think it's too late for that. I think now that he's healthy and he's productive again, that they're going to have the leverage. And being a Boris client, he's going to go into the offseason and he's going to renegotiate whatever you want the terms of that contract to be. If you feel like it has to be a 5-year max contract, I think Bregman's probably going to get as much term as he possibly can. But
I think that's the interesting question, Mego, right? And sorry to cut you off.
No,
but I think
no,
it's such an interesting question because I don't think he's going to go anywhere and get more than $40 million AAV, which he would if he just opted in with the Red Sox the next couple of years. However, the Tigers were very interested in him last year. A.J. Hinch is a manager he knows. That's a team that I think could go deep in the playoffs. What if they come around and say, hey, we won't give you $40 million a year, but we'll give you 5 years at 30 or 32 or pick a number. So that's a lot more overall dollars. So I think it depends on what does Bregman prioritize here? Does he think, hey, I'll opt in, get another year of $40 million per, sign a long-term deal later, or I'm just going to go for the 5 or 6 or 7 year deal right now and make sure I get that overall amount of money? So the Red Sox are in an interesting spot because obviously I would love for them to extend him. I just wonder what his priorities are because, again, I just don't see another team giving him $40 million per year going forward, but he could get a 5, 6, 7 year offer, I think, on the open market.
I think that's right. 617-779-7937. If you want to join in with any of your Red Sox thoughts as they continue their series at the magical Fenway Park for them right now, again, 23-5 since that June 10th date that Rob Bradford cited for us so kindly on his own Twitter profile. But we are going to turn our eyes, of course, over our attention over to the Minnesota Vikings and this little trip out to the Midwest that the Patriots have been on for the better part of a week now. 1 p.m., the second preseason game. What to make of these practices, these joint practice reports. One day seemingly pretty good, pretty, pretty good. Second day, pretty, pretty dreadful, especially with your offensive line. Maybe Drake May being the only exception to an otherwise uncompetitive practice for your New England Patriots. We're going to get to all of the Patriots talk right after Trending with Tom.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
It was another magical Friday night at Fenway Park. The Sox are tied with the Marlins going into the bottom of the ninth. And with the bases loaded, Trevor Story singled to right to walk it off for the Sox. 2-1 was your final score. Here's what Story had to say after the game.
Just in those bigger situations, less is more. And could you feel all the energy? You feel the excitement of everything. And, you know, it's easy to get big in that situation. So, for me, just trying to shoot something like that and hit the ball hard, put the barrel on it.
Giolito went 6 1/3, striking out 5. They play game 2 of a 3-game series this afternoon. And as always, you can listen to that game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Coverage starts at 3:10 on the Mass Mutual pregame show with our good friend Joe Weil, with first pitch at 4:10 with Brian Bayo on the mound. Will and Sean have the call. The Patriots play preseason game 2 against the Minnesota Vikings today at 1 o'clock. Stephon Diggs, Ramondre Stevenson, and Christian Gonzalez are all listed as questionable for today's game. I'm Tom Crisafulli, and that's what's trending here on WEEI, WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Come
back. Mego and John Lyons hanging out with you up until kickoff. We got about an hour and a half until then, 1 p.m. out in Minnesota. You got the Patriots taking on the Vikings, or some semblance of the Minnesota Vikings, because just like the Washington Commanders last Friday, for some reason the Vikings don't want to play a lot of their starters against your New England Patriots. We'll get to the plan for the Patriots as much as we know about it. But before we even get to the game, we got to talk about what happened out there in Minnesota in 2 days of joint practices. Seems like day one was pretty good, depending on who you were reading and maybe even which beat you were hearing from, whether it was the Vikings or the Patriots reporters. It sounded like it was at least a toss-up, maybe Patriots victory, if you want to look at a lot of the competitive periods. And so that brings us to day two. And day two, I just want to read a quick report from Phil Perry of NBC Sports Boston, John Lyons, who was on the ground, and his observations about the offensive line. So this was a very heavy red zone day on day two of joint practices with Minnesota. And this is what Phil Perry wrote. Drake May was 7 for 12 in the 11 on 11 portions of practice, absorbing a whopping 7 sacks. Left tackle Will Campbell was on the scene for three of those sacks. Morgan Moses at right tackle appeared to see two more come off his side. Ben Brown seemed to struggle with power at times while starting at left guard over Jared Wilson, further highlighting the Patriots' offensive issues with the number of scrambles May had in the practice. On plays when he wasn't sacked, he had four more snaps when he had to use his legs to break the pocket and try to create something out of nothing. On those plays, it seemed like May had some time to find a wideout, but without any obvious openings, he took off. So before, John, we get to that second part, which just, I had flashes of last season, like, okay, just basically everything collapsing around him, like it's a scene out of Inception when the dream falls apart. Drake May has to take off on his own and just run for his life while simultaneously trying to get a first down. But that first part about the offensive line giving up seven sacks in one during the 11-on-11 portions of practice, which really carry the most weight when you're looking at these competitive areas of practice, as much as we talk about one-on-ones and 7v7s. 11v11 is the closest that you get to a real game situation. Was your jaw on the floor when you read further reports about this is the worst day that Will Campbell had in all of training camp?
Yeah, Mego, a little bit different than the feeling we had after you and I were at the Commanders-Patriots joint practice last week. Look, my jaw wasn't on the floor. I was disappointed, but I wasn't necessarily shocked that they had some struggles because this Vikings defense, led by Brian Flores, who we know very well here, Jonathan Grenard, who had 12 sacks last year, he was primarily going against Will Campbell throughout the couple days, and it's such a great defense. This might be the best defense the Patriots face all year, this Vikings team in those joint practices. So, and I know they have Baltimore later in the year. They have the Bills as well on the schedule. But really, this is a Vikings team that won 14 games last year, has an elite-level defense. I think the best defensive coordinator in the NFL. It's coin flip between him and Spagnuolo in Kansas City. So I wasn't shocked that the Patriots had some difficulties. I was a little disappointed considering how good they were against Washington. Like, I thought Campbell and Wilson in those joint practices against Washington were really, really good. Not quite as good in the game itself, the preseason game last Friday, but I thought in the joint practices they were really good. So I'm really curious to see today, how much does Will Campbell play? Do we even see Jared Wilson? And if we do, how does he play? Does he play next to Will Campbell? Because I thought you wrote a great piece for the website about this, how they have these two rookies on the left side of the line and how rare that is in the modern NFL. I think both of those guys have the tools, have the talent to be capable starters, but we are talking about two rookies who are going to have some growing pains, and I think we saw a lot of that earlier this week. So what I want to see today, can they kind of, I don't want to say build on that, but can they move on from that and play better today than they did in those joint practices?
Yeah, John, the piece that you mentioned was something that we talked about last week, which is you got Jared Wilson, who looks like he is really this great find from the draft just a week ago. Like, if you go into your Google search and put in Jared Wilson, everything that comes up will be 7 to 10 days old saying Jared Wilson is the star of Patriots training camp. And it's a nice reminder of, like, when we're in these preseason modes and these training camp modes, we do gotta ride the roller coaster. You know, some guys have three or four great days of practice and we're ready to knight them as somebody who's gonna have three contracts here and be a Pro Bowler or all pro. And then they have a horrible, or they have a horrible practice, or they seemingly get demoted and we're ready to completely write them off. I do just maintain, even if Jared Wilson looks as great as he looked in the first couple weeks of training camp, asking a left tackle and left guard to play together consistently as your starters to protect your second-year quarterback who only started 12 games last season, to protect his blind side, it's just a tremendous ask. You got to go in thinking that wasn't the plan. When they were trying to revamp this offensive line, I just can't believe that they were looking at the situation and not thinking, we'll at least get Cole Strange out there. You know, whether you believe he was a first-round talent or not, you know, you would think at least at this point the experience that he had with the Patriots, he'd be able to fill that left guard spot and you'd just be worried about your left tackle. But instead, for me, it's like following this offensive line. I said this on NBC Sports Boston late last night, like, it does feel like whack-a-mole. where the first couple weeks of training camp were going, they don't know what they're doing with center since David Andrews retired. Like, they can't snap the ball. They're fumbling the snap. And then you go, okay, looks like Will Campbell's having some serious growing pains out at left tackle. We all kind of predicted that, but how long is this going to go on? And now we're talking about Ben Brown, who was the backup center who you brought in mid-season last year, taking reps at left guard.
To be clear, who wasn't that good last year either.
Right. Super nice guy. Love chatting with him, but he's a backup. He's a depth piece. And for one reason or another, he's beating out Jared Wilson or filling in for Jared Wilson, who was supposed to be the star of training camp, his reps against Minnesota. And so suddenly you look at this and you go, when are they going to set this offensive line? Not even to mention Morgan Moses leaving practices early and being in his mid-30s and being in some kind of management plan and wondering if he's going to be able to play 17 games for you at right tackle. This is all to ask you, John. How worried are you about this offensive line and even just keeping Drake May upright and the functionality of this offense as we sit here 22 days away from September 7th, the first game against Max Crosby and Las Vegas?
I think this goes back to something you and I and many other people talked about earlier in the offseason, right? Being better does not automatically equate to being really good, because this offensive line will be better than a year ago. But we're talking about a year ago, they were last in the NFL. They were worst offensive line in the NFL. So can they get to 20th, 21st, 22nd, which would be a huge jump? But, Mega, we'd still be talking about the 22nd best line in the NFL, which is kind of a lot of the things we're describing right here. Some uncertainties at right tackle and how healthy and available Morgan Moses would be. Uncertainty at left guard. And, look, I like Jared Wilson. I think he's going to be a quality starting guard or center in the NFL. He is a guy that only played 1 year at Georgia. He was second-team All-SEC, but it was only 1 year of starting. And it feels like if the Patriots had their way, either Cole Strange or Sidy Sow, who's still kind of hanging around, let's not forget, he started the second half of 2023 at guard and then mysteriously just never really made it on the field last year except at fullback a couple times. I think they would have preferred one of those guys take the role at least early in the season and then maybe Wilson kind of take that role later in the season or next year. And it feels like Wilson, he's been the best guy at guard, but he's got some growing to do. It feels like to me their week one line is setting up right now to be Campbell and Wilson with maybe Ben Brown rotating in. And if you told me that before the season, I don't know if I would have believed that. I would have believed that eventually Wilson would have been the guy, but I would have thought, man, they'll find a way with Cole Strange or Sidy Sow or even Layden Robinson, second-year guy. Like, they would find a way with one of those guys to make it work next to Will Campbell, or move Bradbury over and put someone younger at center. Like, I would have thought something like that, but it's just, that's the way it's kind of worked out right now, is that left guard, Wilson has been by far their best answer, but he still, you know, has some growing to do as a young and relatively inexperienced player.
So you mentioned Jonathan Grenard, who is kind of the star linebacker, Pro Bowl linebacker for the Minnesota Vikings.
12 sacks last year.
Mm-hmm. The Boston Herald's Doug Kide, he got an exclusive and asked him about going up against Will Campbell, especially on that second day of joint practices. And this is what he had to say. He said, I think with repetition, Campbell's going to be really good. He has some really good coaches over there. He's got some good talent over there to go against. Just keep getting better. But a guy like that needs reps. And to me, I think that kind of says, like, from his perspective, this kid's really green. And maybe that's just the perspective of being the star of the edge rushers that ESPN has ranked preseason 3 overall in the entire NFL. As you were saying, this is a highly touted Minnesota defense, whether it's the scheme from Brian Flores, who knows you very well, or whether it's individual guys like Jonathan Grenard. But do you think I'm misreading that? I hear that as Will Campbell's green. That kid needs reps. Like, man, that kid is getting thrown into the deep end of the pool and being told just swim right away, or maybe just tread water and figure it out as the season goes on. Because truly, the Patriots don't have another option there at left tackle. They can only go really to Vedarian Lowe.
Right, and that's the thing. You don't have the luxury of when you drafted, say, Nate Solder, and you could have him wait a year behind Matt Light in 2011. You don't have anything like that. And I think Will Campbell, look, there's going to be growing pains here. I still think he's going to be a good left tackle in the NFL, and I think maybe an average one in his rookie year, which would still be a huge upgrade over last year, and eventually I think he'll be pretty good. And this quote mirrored the quote you just read, something Dietrich Wise said after the Patriots' joint practice with the Commanders last week. And, of course, Wise very familiar with the Patriots and how they operate and Josh McDaniels and his offense. And he said he liked Will Campbell's feet. He liked his hands. He thinks he'll become a good tackle. And he just kind of, and I'm paraphrasing him here, just needed some more time. And
did
I think
he talk about his arms?
There was a question asked about his arms, and then Wise answered by saying, like, oh, his feet and his hands are really good.
Yeah, so he sidestepped it.
Yeah, but honestly, and this is my belief too, I think Will Campbell's feet and his hands are the reason he's going to be a good left tackle. And I know, Mego, you would love for me to break down offensive line stuff
on
the radio.
I think of course, very compelling.
It is, right? I know the listeners and the callers are lining up to talk about Will Campbell's feet and hands, but I think that's the way he's going to have to offset it. And to that point, though, that's where experience comes in, right? Because at LSU, he got used to, hey, I'm the best player here. And when he went against good competition in the SEC or against Florida State to open the season a few years back, he was good in those games. But I think he got used to, hey, this works for me here at LSU. This is how I need to set. I need to step, blah, blah, blah. At the NFL, and especially in a new scheme with McDaniels, that's going to be an adjustment in itself. And another piece of this conversation, Mego, this is where Josh McDaniels comes in. And I know your usual co-host, Chris Scheim, not a Josh McDaniels guy. I am a huge Josh McDaniels supporter. This is something where I think McDaniels is going to have to show people once again how good an offensive coordinator he is in scheming up some of the protection to help out guys like Campbell, guys like Wilson, even a Bradbury, which last year with Van Pelt, we never really saw them scheme up stuff to help with protection, to get the ball out really fast. And we didn't see a ton of it the year before with Bill O'Brien. Part of that was talent on offense, too. Now I think we're going to have to see some of that, too. We're going to have to see McDaniels step up and find ways to alleviate the pressure on a Campbell, on a Wilson, not put those guys on an island. Get the ball out of May's hands quickly. Maybe get May on the move here and there. Get Travion Henderson involved early in games to keep defenses off balance. So I know we spent most of this time talking about Campbell, talking about Wilson, and they're the biggest pieces in this conversation. But I think McDaniels and I think May are part of this conversation as well.
I agree. I'd throw Doug Marrone in there, too.
I think
the other part when we talk about or when you hear guys on the other side, pro bowlers, all pro linebackers saying he needs experience reading between the lines. I also hear that as in the NFL, there's this different level of dressing things up on defense. And sometimes you only know what you're looking at through not just studying and being a smart guy and your work ethic, but just getting out there and getting the reps. As you said, he just needs reps. Unfortunately for the Patriots, they don't really have time. Like, they don't have time to just have him suddenly be a third-year guy who has all that experience on top of the technique to maybe make up for some of the physical shortcomings that we all questioned during the draft.
Yeah, it's been a long time since
there's just no time.
A rookie out there. I mean, Matt Light started as a rookie in 2001, I think at least partway through the year, and that's the last because Nate Solder had a year to learn. Isaiah Wynn, I know he didn't work out, but they drafted him after already, you know, having Trent Brown on the roster, you know, a guy he had time to develop. I know, again, it didn't work, but it's been a long time since they've started such a young player at left tackle.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the offensive line. I want to go to the other side of the ball because under the radar, I think there were some reports about the Patriots defense that were not as concerning as the offensive line, but certainly raised some eyebrows when you expect this defense to maybe be top 10, if not definitely a top 15 defense under Mike Vrabel. We'll hit a quick break. After that, we'll address the Patriots defense.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy?
And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Miko and Lyons back with you for about another hour before we get to Patriots kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings for preseason game two. And we were just chatting about the offensive line. A few little updates ahead of from the reporters on the ground ahead of that second preseason game. Phil Perry tweets that it looks like left guard Jared Wilson is going to try to play today. So it seems like he's dealing with something physically, I don't know, injury-wise out there in Minnesota, but hopefully going to be able to be out there for at least a series or two, assuming the starters will play that much in Minnesota. And then on top of that, the New England Patriots themselves, after a very content-filled week for Stephon Diggs, wide receiver,
that is a very
eight.
Diplomatic and nice way to put it, Megan. Okay, content filled.
We're going to get.
Wait, by the way, where did
this?
You go to school? Since Mike Vrabel's asking, right?
Everybody,
where did we all? Wasn't Ohio State, right?
George Washington.
There you go. That's
yeah,
pretty good.
There you go. Yeah, and then BU for grad school. But
wow.
The New England Patriots, they know what they're doing because they just very prominently featured Stephon Diggs in his old stomping grounds. In that beautiful stadium in Minnesota, running some routes and warming up. So maybe we'll get to see little Stephon Diggs after a roller coaster in the media, a roller coaster week. We'll get a little Stephon Diggs today. Fingers crossed. We'll keep you updated with who we see out there warming up, according to reports, who to expect. But very
quickly. And I think, too, one thing quickly, if we see Stephon Diggs today, that would kind of confirm for me that he's going to play week one. Right, because this is a guy we talked about maybe week five, week four when he was signed here. He's looked pretty good at practice, mobility wise, and all that stuff. So if he's out there in a preseason game taking live reps, to me that kind of guarantees he's going to be there week one.
Yeah, I promise we're going to talk a ton of Stephon in the next hour. But I quickly want to hit on defense because sometimes we have a tendency to
here in the media to gloss over the defensive side because we go, well, this is a Mike Vrabel team. It's a Mike Vrabel defense. They spent a lot in free agency over there, and they're never dismal. Like in New England, the defense is hardly ever totally dreadful or awful. A couple notes from ESPN, who ranked position groups among all the NFL teams. They had your interior defensive line 10th. They had off-ball linebackers 15th. Your edge rushers were not ranked in the top 16, so the top half of the league. And then your corners were ranked 6th, and your safeties were ranked 9th. To me, the big questions around this defense, outside of who, according to Andrew Callahan and the Boston Herald, got shredded by J.J. McCarthy, who went 14 for 16 in red zone work and 11v11s yesterday, or not yesterday, 2 days ago at this point, out in Minnesota. Are we overrating this defense? And by the way, what's going on with Kyle Duggar, who seems to be completely demoted?
Yeah, Craig Woodson, it feels like he has taken over. Him and Jalen Hawkins are those second and third safeties behind Peppers, right? When they go three safeties, it's one of those two guys or both, not Kyle Duggar, which I found really interesting. Another guy, Anfernee Jennings, who is a big part of the Belichick and Covington scheme the last few years, he's repping with the second team. He was playing in the fourth quarter of that preseason game against Washington. I think this defense is going to be good. I don't think they're going to be top five, top four good. I could see them Mego being 10th or 11th, kind of in that range. Because let's not forget, too, 2 years ago, Belichick's last year, the team was terrible. They won four games. In most categories, this defense was top six, top seven. So, like, they still had a pretty good defense. They were losing games 10-7 to the Giants, 10-6 or whatever it was to the Colts. They were in those low-scoring games. The defense was good. I think they can get closer to that, not as maybe good as they were in 23, but closer to that, at least much closer than they were last year. And a lot of this speaks to just kind of where they're at in their rebuild and their level of depth. Like you mentioned, the inside linebackers or the off-ball linebackers ranked 15th. Like, I think Robert Spillane is a really good player, but beyond him, you don't really have any depth. You don't have a lot of guys you feel confident in. I think Gonzalez and Davis could be the best cornerback tandem in the NFL. But beyond those guys, there are some questions. I like Alex Austin. I think TJ James has been good. But neither of those guys has been a huge role player for a full season before. Like defensive tackle, Barmore is a great player, but he's coming off an injury. Milton Williams had a great year last year, but he had Hall of Famers and All-Pro guys all around him in Philadelphia. And behind those two guys, you don't really feel great about their depth. So I think their defense, like the depth to me, is the biggest concern of their defense, because I do think they have quality starters at a lot of these positions. I just don't know if they're too deep at a lot of positions, which, as we know, in a 17-game season, could create some problems for them.
I agree. I also, though, I do think that we look at the talent potential, because we've seen so much of them over the years at this point, of guys like Keon White and Christian Barmore. And we kind of just go, okay, well, if Vrabel taps into something there, those guys are going to be like total game changers defensively. And I don't know if we're, again, just penciling that in. You know, like we've seen both of them have,
I mean, it's fair. Maybe
have
we are.
Really
yeah.
good stretches. But these are guys, Barmore had a very serious health issue. So he gets, you know, a pass, obviously, for one season. But these are guys who have been in the league for years now. And you look at it and you go, it's kind of like the same thing offensively with Kayshon Booty, where you go, this is not a developmental league. At some point, right. Are you going to break through? Or are we just sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting and finally going to say, that's just a guy? And we can't lean on him defensively and say that's going to be somebody who's going to be the next, you know, Dante Hightower or something.
Yeah. And I think Keon White really is the poster child for this point, right? Because he's a guy that he's drafted a couple years ago, 6'5", 285, has all the measurables, flashed quite a bit in 2023. Last year was good early, kind of faded. They moved him around. Clearly, he was not happy with the coaching staff last year. I mean, he's called Mike Vrabel a, quote, real coach this offseason, which what a shot that is at the previous regime. So does he take a step forward now, or is he one of those guys, like you're saying, that we kind of keep waiting around to break out, to break out, to break out, and he just never quite breaks out? Because he's a guy, if Keon White is really good, this defense takes on a different dimension. If he's just average with some lot of fans are hoping.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that's checking in with the defense. In the next hour, we're going to get into some of the biggest topics that came out of this week and that we're looking forward to, one of which being Drake May and how much he's going to play against these Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings seemingly are going the Washington path of sitting a bunch of their starters, which is very annoying to me as somebody who's trying to figure out where they match up competitively with the Patriots and how we can grade out the Patriots starters against, once again, twos and threes. But how much should Drake May play in this game, especially considering the state of the offensive line? I'm beginning to feel like I might be one of the only members of local media who wants to see more of Drake May in preseason games rather than less, but we'll address that right after a very quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.